Okay, today's daf is Menachos daf Samach Gimel. We left off, I think we finished Samach Beis and Beis yesterday, so we're up to Samach Gimel Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. Ha'omer harei alai b'machvas lo yavi b'marchasha. So there are two types of pans in which one can bring a korban mincha. So if a person says, I'm going to bring a mincha that goes into a machvas, so he cannot bring b'marchashas. B'marchashas lo yavi b'machvas. And vice versa, if he says he's going to bring b'marchashas, he may not bring a mincha b'machvas. That it has to be specific to the type of pan that he says he's going to bring the korban mincha in. So great, ma bein machvas l'marchashas. So what's the difference between the two of them? They both mean pan. So what's the difference between a machvas and a marcheshes? So the Mishnah gives two possibilities. Number one, marcheshes yesh la kisui, machvas ein la kisui, divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that a marcheshes has a cover. It's a pan with a cover to it. A machvas doesn't have a cover. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, no, it's a different chilek. Marcheshes amuka umaaseha rochshin, machvas safa umaaseha koshin. Some change the gears from rochshin to rockin, you see on the side that are rochshin rockin, maybe together, both words together. But either way, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says a marcheshes is deeper, and therefore it's like deep frying something, so it's very bubbly. That's machzeh rochshin, that it's like making the noise, that bubbling noise. Whereas machvas is tzafa, it's a flat pan, and maaseh koshin, and therefore the mincha that you make on it is a very hard wafer-like type of thing, as opposed to a very soft and fluffy soft batter. Because if you're making it in a flat pan with a soft batter, it's not going to work out so well. That explanation is actually Machlokes Rishonim. There's Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Rashi understands that Machvas is a wider kli with narrow walls, and the shemen is put when the shemen is put in, it spreads out in the kli. And that's why the mincha is hard, because the shemen spreads out throughout the whole floor of the kli, the whole bottom of the kli, which is very wide. So the shemen doesn't all get totally balul together with the flour. Where the marcheshes is a narrower kli that has higher walls, and therefore when you bake the korban mincha in it, all of the shemen gets mixed in with the flour, and that's what makes it softer. Meaning in general, whenever you make a dough, the more liquid you put in the dough together with the flour, obviously the softer the dough is going to be. So in the case of a high pan, the oil gets totally mixed in with the flour, and that's going to create a soft dough. In the flatter pan with the low walls, the oil spreads out throughout the whole bottom of the pan, and therefore it's not going to be totally mixed in with the flour, and that's going to create a harder dough. That's how Rashi understands. However, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Gershom, the Bar Tanura, all understand differently. They all say that the structure of machvas and marcheshes, in terms of how large the base of the kli is, are exactly the same. It's not that the one without the walls has a much wider base. No, it's exactly the same. Difference is, machvas doesn't have walls at all. It has no toch. It's just a flat, like a griddle or something. It's like a flat. It's a flat sheet. It's a flat sheet of metal. It has no walls at all, according to the Rambam. And therefore, you have to make it a harder type of dough. You have to make it a dough without that much liquid, because if you try to put a soft batter in a flat kli that doesn't have walls, what's going to happen? It's just going to spill right over the sides. It's not going to stay in one spot. So you need to put a more solid piece of dough on it to make. That's why it's maaseh koshah. A marcheshes has walls, and therefore you don't have to worry about the dough falling out of the kli. So it was, they were able to make an isaraka. They were able to make it with a much softer dough because of that. That's the Rambam Maaseh Korbanos Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Zayin. Now it turns out that the amount of oil, the Rambam's pshat is a little bit difficult in the following sense. The halacha is that you put a lug shemen and isaron of oil in a korban mincha. That's the Torah mandated shear. Whether you're making a minchas machvas or a minchas marcheshes, you need the same amount of oil. So what's he talking about? That if you have a certain type of pan, you need to make it a harder dough versus... you're putting the same amount of oil. How does a harder dough or a softer dough? Either way, it's the same amount of ratio to between flour and oil. So what you have to say, according to the Rambam, is that we learned before in Daf Nun Hey that there's another factor, that all the menachos were niloshos peposhrin. You put warm water in the menachos also, you would need it with water. It wasn't just oil and flour. So the question is, how much water would you put in? That's the issue. The amount of oil is going to remain the same. But the Rambam's differential between the harder and the softer is not based on the amount of oil, it's based on the amount of water that was put into the karban. Karidor writes that according to the Rishonim that hold, that the Machvas doesn't have a toch at all, the Rambam, the Bar Tanura, that the Machvas simply has no walls at all, so you have to explain why it's called a kli. Why would it have a din of a kli in the first place if it doesn't have a base kibble? One of the definitions of a kli is something that has a base kibble. So the Keren Ora says you have to say the fact that you use it, makes it considered as if it has a toch. That pshute kli matchos, as long as you use it as a kli, it's considered like a kli. The Mikdash David writes that according to these Rishonim, you have to say that it's a chiddush that the machvas is mekadesh even though it doesn't have a toch. Normally, kelim are only mekadesh that which is munach bitochan, that which you place inside of them. If the machvas doesn't have a toch, how's it mekadesh anything? So that must be a chiddush achidsha Torah, that even the machvas has the ability to be mekadesh that which is al gaba, even though it's not bitocha, because there is no toch, it's only al gaba. The Mikdash Tav explains that according to these Rishonim, the machvas, if that's true, that the Torah is mekadesh, that the machvas is mekadesh even though it doesn't have a base kibble, which is what you have to say according to the Rambam, Mikdash Tavit says it would therefore follow that the machvas is also mekadesh shalomi das. How does one relate to the other? That the machvas, just because it's mekadesh, even though it doesn't have a toch, it's necessarily mekadesh shalomi das. Because when it comes to kiddush klisharis, there's a machlokas whether the mekadesh midas or mekadesh, or they're not mekadesh, whether the mekadesh shalomi das or they're not mekadesh shalomi das. They're only mekadesh midas. But the machvas, since it doesn't have a toch, what other example do we have of a kli that's mekadesh that doesn't have a toch? The other example we have is a sakin sheshochtim bo, the knife that you shech the karbanos with, where the Gemara is going to say in Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, according to one explanation at least, that since it doesn't have a toch, even though it doesn't have a toch, and it's mekadesh, so what you see from that, from the fact that it has the ability to be mekadesh, the Gemara is going to say in Daf Ayin Ches, even though it doesn't have a base kibble, doesn't have a toch, shows you that it's fundamentally better than other clay shares. It's more powerful than other clay shares. Because other clay shares are only able to be mekadesh that which is inside of them. The sakin is able to be mekadesh even though there's nothing inside of it. It doesn't even have a toch. So the Gemara says, so you see, therefore, the sakin is able to be mekadesh even shalomi das. Because the fact that it's able to be mekadesh without a toch shows you that it's more powerful and therefore it's able to be mekadesh even shalomi das. So says the Mikdash David, put two and two together. If the Torah is mechadesh to us, that a machvas is mechadesh even though it doesn't have a toch, then it should be just like the sakin, and it should be able to be mechadesh even shalomi das. So it comes out a great chiddush about the koach of a machvas according to the Shitas Rambam. According to Rashi, you don't have this chiddush, because according to Rashi, the machvas does have a toch, it does have walls, it just has lower walls, but it does have walls. So if it has walls, then this whole chiddush goes away. But according to the Rambam, the Bar Tanura, it doesn't have walls, then it's comparable to the sakin on that level. Also, we learned way earlier in the Masechta on Daf Beis that any mincha that you nikmat shalol l'shma is kosher and is all l'bal m'shem chava. That there's a fundamental difference between a mincha and a zevach in this regard, in the context of shalol l'shma. That, for instance, if a person does kmitza on a minchas machvas l'shem marcheshes, he says he's doing it l'shem marcheshes, so it's still kosher and all l'bal m'shem chava because it's maaseh mochichin alav. It's obvious from just looking at what he's doing that it's really a minchas machvas and not a minchas marcheshes. They're completely different. How's it maser mochich and love? So Rashi, how's it obvious? So Rashi explains that the marcheshes is amuka umaser rochshim rakin, and the machvas is tzafa umaser koshin. That the marcheshes is deep and it has a bubbly, soft type of substance, and the machvas is flat and it has hard breads. So the Brisk Rav just points out that according to the Rambam, the chiluk between the marcheshes and the machvas, that one is hard and one is soft, is not because there's a din that one has to be hard and one has to be soft. It's purely practical in nature, according to the Rambam. According to Rashi, that's the din, that they're both kelim that have a toch. You make one in a hard way, one in a soft way. According to the Rambam, it's not a din that one has to be hard, one has to be soft. It's just that you have to make sure you add in the right amount of water to make it hard when you're dealing with a flat pan that doesn't even have a toch, just so that it doesn't all spill out of the pan. So it's a mukhra chametzius, the Brisk Rav says. It's something that just practically has to be done. So luyitzur, that you are able to guard over the dough that it's not going to fall out of the kli, even if you make it soft in a machvas, so that would be totally permissible. So therefore, ask the Brisk Rav, how can we say that a minchas marcheshes is ma'aseh mochichin, that it's a minchas marcheshes just because it's soft? Mi'ikra din, a minchas machvas is allowed to be soft also. So granted, practically it looks like it's going to be difficult to pull off, but that's not part of the definition of the karban. Are you going to say ma'aseh mochichin alah when it's not even part of the definition of the karban? Rav David Salvechik just added that l'chora, they must have had a way, they must have had a pan that was large enough where you could make a pretty soft dough, even in a flat pan. Why? Because the Gemara is going to say later on that you could bring a mincha that has 60 esronim of flour. So how are you going to bring a mincha? What kind of pan is that going to fit in? So they must have had a machvas that is able to hold such a large mincha of 60 esronim. So if you have such a machvas that could hold such a large mincha, presumably you could hold a smaller mincha that's more liquidy without it falling out, that's a softer kind of dough. So probably they had the ability to do it. It's just not likely, not common. But they must have had this giant pan somewhere in there in the Beis HaMikdash where they can make the Shishim Esronim one, says Rav David Salvechik. So it's not only is it not fundamental to the difference between a machvas and a marcheshes, according to the Rambam, but it's even possible to make a softer dough in a flatter pan. So it's difficult to say, according to the Rambam, it's difficult to understand what the ma'aseh mochichin alav really is all about, according to the Rambam. Okay, let's see the Gemara. My time is Rabbi Yossi. So we said Rabbi Yossi, we had two opinions in the Mishnah, what the difference between machvas and marcheshes is. Rabbi Yossi clearly thought the difference is whether it has a cover or doesn't have a cover. Then marcheshes has a cover, machvas does not. So what's the reason for Rabbi Yossi? Ilem marcheshes da'asya aruchushe halev kidichsev rochash libi davar tov umachvas da'asya amachvue hapeh. Maybe it's because marcheshes is covered up, that the reason that we call it marcheshes means to try and explain, why would you call something with a cover a marcheshes? What does that have to do with the word marcheshes? How does the word marcheshes mean something that has a cover? So maybe marcheshes relates to the thoughts in one's heart, which is covered up, as in rochash lev davar tov. Whereas machvas relates to amchavue peh, that which a person expresses with his mouth, and that which is therefore out there in the world, it's expressed. Kida amri inchi minavach nevuche. Like people say, like the dog is barking, that machvas nevuche relates to that which is barking, that which is being said out loud, that which is out there. So therefore, it refers to the pot that's not covered, that which is more exposed to the outside world. So frek the Gemara, ema ibcha, maybe you could say that the exact opposite is true, that machvas tasya machvue alev. Machvas maybe refers to machvue alev, that which is hidden in the heart. Machvue could also mean hidden. D'chsev lamenich vesel levroach. Why did you sneak out to run away? What's the context of that pasuk? It's love. I'm telling Yaakov Avinu, lamenich vesel levroach v'tignov osi v'lo igadet ali. He said, why didn't you tell me? Why are you so secretive? So nechvesel, something that's covered up and that's secretive. Marcheshes, and marcheshes could mean the opposite. Marcheshes could mean something that's loud and out there. We said that the lips are quivering, that the lips are moving. So that relates to something that's that's expressed publicly, that's expressed in a clear and evident way. So don't tell me that the word marcheshes means covered up and the word machvas means exposed, because you can say the opposite also. You have sources in Tanakh say the opposite also. So where does Rabbi Yossi really get his opinion from, that machvas and marcheshes are different in that way, that one that the marcheshes has a cover, machvas doesn't? Ela gemara gemirila. It must be that there's some sort of very long-standing tradition that this is the case. Now, whenever we have the words gemara gemirila, so Rashi typically throughout Shas, even though I don't think he says anything over here. Oh, what does he say? Ela gemara. Yeah, he doesn't say anything. He just says gemara dezuma chusav dezuma gula. Rashi typically throughout Shas, when you have gemara gemirila, will always say halach l'moshe misinei. That it's halach l'moshe misinei. The Netziv in his hakdama, in his first of three hakdamos to his perish on the she'iltos in Kidmas Ha'emek, part one, Rav Shachter always points out that the Netziv published the perish on the she'iltos in three volumes at three different times. So he wrote three separate hakdamos, about 10-page hakdama for each one. The hakdamas actually got progressively longer as he continued through them. I just gave shiurim recently on the first two. The third one I haven't finished yet. It's a very, very long hakdama. So in the beginning of the first hakdama, he explains that there are two types of Torah. There's what we call Eish and what we call Das. Das is Kedas Malasos. It is a certain finality to it. It is that which is definitive, whereas Eish is that which is more flexible. It requires Chakira to clarify. It's Mischalik L'Kamenitzotzos. It's each spark can become a can go somewhere else and lead you in a different direction. So the Netziv explains that which has previously been debated and become Eish can serve as the basis for later Pesach. Meaning something can go from Eish to Das. Something can go from being Eish, being debated, to becoming Das, to becoming established Pesach, which serves as the basis for future Pesach. So that transformation can happen. And says the Netziv, that's what the Gemara means when it says Gemara Gemirula. Gemara Gemirula means something that was once a debate in the Beis Medrash, but has since become completely accepted across the board. Rashi and Tosfos disagree. They say no, Gemara Gemirula is halacha l'moshe misinei, but the Netziv says that's how the Rambam understands Gemara Gemirula. The Rambam will only say something is halacha l'moshe misinei if it says be'emes amru, or it says halacha l'moshe misinei explicitly. If it says Gemara Gemirula, or Hilchsa Gemirula for that matter, the Rambam might just be referring to something that was debated in a previous generation, but has since been accepted as undisputed halacha for the later generations. That's what Gemiri is milashon nimnu v'gamru. That they nimnu v'gamru means they voted, they got together and they decided this is the way it's going to be. And that explains the Rambam in Hilchos Niskei Mamon, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, counts chatzi nezek tzoros, says halacha mipia kabbalah. Whereas Rashi says, no, chatzi nezek tzoros is halacha l'moshe misinai. One of the difficulties everyone raises in the Rambam is how could the Rambam say in the Akdamah to the Perish of Mishnayis that there's never a machlokas about halacha l'moshe misinai, there's machlokas about chatzi nezek tzoros. And the Gemara says that it's hilchos gemirula chatzi nezek tzoros. So the Netziv says it's not a problem. The Rambam doesn't think it's halacha l'moshe misinai. The Rambam thinks that that's Gemara gemirula. That's a later generation coming to a final conclusion about that. And he gives several examples of halachos that were once debated and are no longer debated. And he also has many rayas that Eish can become Das. For instance, Moshe Rabbeinu was shown Kol Masha Talmud Vasig Asad L'Schadesh in Megillah Daf Yutes and Beis L'Gemara says. So Netziv points out it can't mean that every discussion in the Beis Medrash was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have that kind of time to waste, because most of the discussions that happen about the Medrash are a complete waste of time. So it's not likely that Moshe Rabbeinu went through every discussion. It means those parts that became concrete Torah, those discussions in Batei Medrash that actually turned out to become a concrete part of Torah, that became dust, that went from Eish to become dust, that's what it means. And he says that's a machlokas, that perhaps explains the machlokas in Gittin Daf Samach, whether the majority of Torah is b'chsav or the majority of Torah is balpeh, because on the surface it would seem that of course the majority of Torah is balpeh. There's so much more Torah. Just look at a Shas next to a Tanakh. Of course the majority of Torah is balpeh. But maybe that's the question. Maybe we're only counting that which is das. We're only counting as Torah Shebalpeh, that which has already become undisputed halacha. Okay, let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel lomar. Then we have the opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel in the Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said, no, the difference between machvas and marcheshas is whether it's a flat pan or a tall pan. So marcheshas hamuka d'chsiv v'chol nasa b'marcheshas. Machvas safa d'chsiv v'al machvas. Notice the difference. When it describes the contents of marcheshas, it says b'marcheshas, that which is inside of the marcheshas. When it describes the contents of a machvas, it says al machvas, that which is on top of the machvas. So there it gives it away, that the marcheshas is a deep pan, it has something that's inside of it. The machvas is a flat pan, it has something on top of it. Tan Rabban Beishami Omrim, Ha'omer Harei Alay Marcheshas. If a person says, I am hereby committing to a marcheshas, he doesn't say minchas marcheshas, he says marcheshas. So then we don't know what to do. We have to leave it till Eliyahu Hanavi comes. We're not sure. Is he referring to the kli, or is he referring to that which is made in that kli? Is he referring to the kli that's called the machlas or marcheshes, or is he talking about the karban mincha that's typically made in the machlas or marcheshes? Beisil says no. There was a kli called the marcheshes. Marcheshes wasn't the name of the mincha, it was the name of the kli that you brought that mincha in. V'doma k'min kalvus amuk, and it was like a deep kalvus, u'k'shabatzik munach betocho, when the dough was put inside of it, doma k'min tapuche habarasim, it's like the barasim tapuchim, u'k'min balute ha'yavanim, and like the balute ha'yavanim. I'm sure Art Scroll put a nice picture somewhere of the, no? Yeah, they do. Rashi tries to explain it. The Gemara is trying to explain it, obviously. It's just that these words don't mean anything to us. It's like the balutim hayavanim, the Greek balutim. Okay, that's nice. Oh, okay, good. All right. So, va'omer v'kol nasa b'marcheshes va'al machvas. And we say that which is made in the marcheshes and on the machvas. So what do you see? In the marcheshes, on the machvas. That it's not the name of the korban, it's the name of the kli. So it's obvious that you're referring to the kelim, you're not referring to that which is made inside of the kli. If a person says harei alai marcheshes, so that's Beisil doesn't think that this fits in the category of munachat sheyavo Eliyahu. Every once in a while you have such a thing of munachat sheyavo Eliyahu. You have by a certain avedos that munachat sheyavo Eliyahu, by certain they say the brisker rav. They say the Rav Avraham Yeshua, the Rosh Shiva in Brisk now, still has a pair of rubbers, of galoshes, that someone lost in Brisk 100 years ago or something, that Rav Elvel brought with him to Eretz Yisrael. But the halacha was, Yemunach Ad Sheyavo Eliyahu. So he's hanging on to it. He's still hanging on. It's like a family heirloom that they're passing on. It doesn't belong to them. That's Munach Ad Sheyavo Eliyahu, where the halacha was that way. Okay, so says the Mishnah, Harei Alei Betanur L'Yavi Mafa Kupach. If a person says, Harei Alei Betanur, then he's not allowed to bring a carbon that's baked in a kupach. What's a kupach? Rashi says, Min Tanur Katan Makom Shvisas Kedera Achas. It's like a tiny little oven that could fit only one kedera. V'lo mafa ra'afim. You also can't bake it on tiles. They would sometimes bake on boiling hot tiles as their preferred mode of baking. So he's not allowed to do that either. He can't bring kupach or ra'afim. Umafi yaros harvim or the Arabian pots they can't bake in. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ratza mevi mafa kupach. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can bring mafa kupach. That's okay. Even you say harei alei betan or kupach counts. Harei alei minchas ma'afe. If a person says, I'm going to bring a minchas ma'afe, a baked mincha, lo yavi mechza chalos and mechza rekikin. You have to bring one, granted, chalos are okay, rekikin are okay, but you can't split. You can't do half and half. Half chalos, half rekikin. Rabbi Shimon matir mneshu karban echad. Rabbi Shimon is matir because he thinks that that's considered a single karban, meaning they're both considered as in the same, when the Torah talks about a karban mincha, it lists chalos and rekikin as part of one karban. So they're the same status. So you could split the two. You can have partially rikikin and partially chalos. Briskarov just points out, why does the Tana say, what the Tana is trying to tell us is that a minchas mafa is not kosher in a kupach, let's say, the Tanakama, right? So why does he have to say harei alai? Why does he have to come up with the case that harei, a person says harei alai b'tanur? Just say that a minchas mafa can't be if it's mafa b'kupach, so it's And the issue over here is not in whether it's bechlal his neder or not. It's that a mincha cannot be nefes in a kupach. It's that you're not allowed to bake a korban mincha in a kupach. Just say that mincha's kupach. It's possible that you're not allowed to use a kupach. Why is it harei alai? He doesn't really address. He doesn't really answer the issue. He just raises it that it's a little bit odd that the Mishnah chooses that case to make it sound like it's about a specific case where a person accepts upon himself a kind of neder. Probably, the Chaznishus points out, it probably relates to the fact that we're just trying to be consistent with the last Mishnah. The last Mishnah is a person says, Harei alai b'machvas, he can't bring b'marcheshes. Now, there's nothing wrong, objectively, with bringing a minchas marcheshes. It's just that if you committed to bring a machvas, you can't bring a marcheshes. So in this Mishnah, even though it's not about what you committed, it's just about in general, that the mincha can't be baked in a kupach, so we keep the same lashon of Harei alai. The Tiferes Yisrael just points out that we previously learned that all the menachos, lishasan va'arichasan bifnim, you do the kneading of the dough, the setting up of the loaves, all bifnim. Now, bifnim, they didn't have these kelim, these yoros ha'arvayim, and these kupach, and mafer ra'afim, they didn't have all this stuff. So how is it even shaykh to talk about making the menachos in these kinds of kelim? So it's Tiferes Yisrael, and the Mishnah says that it must be that we're talking about they did the lisha and the aricha, and then they brought it outside of the Azara. Because it's only l'chadchila din that you're not allowed to bring it outside, but b'dievet, if you bring them outside, they're not nifsal yet. If you bring them outside of the Azara after the lisha v'aricha. So maybe that's the case. Or you could say that it's only l'chadchila that you even need the lisha to be done b'fnim. Maybe the lisha could be done b'chutz b'dievet, and maybe we're talking about where they did the lisha and the aricha b'chutz. But l'chora, there's a more fundamental explanation, and that is, why didn't they have these kelim b'fnim? Why didn't they have these kinds of things? Because they have no use for them. There's no reason to have them bifnim. Why didn't they have a use for them? Because our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to bake the korban mincha in this way. So it's which came first, the chicken or the egg over here? The Tiferes Yisrael is assuming, oh, they didn't have these bifnim, so I don't understand how we could even have a havamina that they would use them. No, the reason they didn't have them bifnim is because our Mishnah says that you're not supposed to use them. Had our Mishnah come to a conclusion that you're allowed to use them, then probably they would have had them bifnim. There's no iser of having different types of ovens bifnim if they're all usable and you have something to make out of all of them. So that's the chiluk. Milchas Chinuch just adds one more chiddush related to Rabbi Shimon's shita. So Rabbi Shimon says that you could bring mechza chalas, mechza rikikim because it's all carbon echad. So Milchas Chinuch points out that according to Rabbi Shimon, that it's all carbon echad, if a person takes a neder to bring a minchas mafa of chalos or a minchas mafa of rikikin, he could change to the other one. If he says that he wants to bring chalos, he can bring rikikin, he can bring chalos, because since it's all echad, meaning that it even goes that far. And it's not just shakal echad, that if you say a vague lashon, you could split, do half chalos, half rikikin. Even if you promise chalos, you could bring rikikin. That's the chiddush of the minchas chinuch. Not everyone is so thrilled with that chiddush, but that's where the minchas chinuch. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, Mafa Tanur v'lo Mafa Kupach, Mafa Tanur and not Mafa Kupach v'lo Mafa Rafim v'lo Mafa Yoros Arvayim. That's what we darshan from the pasuk. Pasuk says Mafa Tanur, and that comes to exclude all of these other ways of baking. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tanur Shnei Pamim Lahachshir Mafa Kupach. Why does Rabbi Yehuda allow it to be baked in a kupach? Because it says the word Tanur appears twice. That comes to be Marbe something. That's coming to be Marbe Mafa Kupach that you're allowed to have in a kupach. Rabbi Shimon Omer Tanur Shnei Pamim. Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, it says Tanur twice, not to tell me that you can bake in a kupach, echad she'teyaf yasin betanur, ve'echad she'hekdeshon betanur. One to tell me that the baking is done in a tanur, and the other to tell me that it becomes kadosh first in the tanur, that it doesn't, that it's not yet kadosh prior to being in the tanur. So, frankly, Gemara, Mia says Rabbi Shimon Haisvara. Does Rabbi Shimon really hold that? That the kedusha only takes effect in the tanur? Vatnan, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Leolam, Havi Ragel Omer Shtei Alechem Lechem Apanim, Ksheros Bazara, Uksheros Beis Pagi. That Rabbi Shimon says that the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Apanim are kosher in the Azara, and they're also kosher in Beis Pagi. Beis Pagi is outside of the Azara. So, if you're going to say that the tanur is Mekadesh, so isn't Nifsal b'yotze. How could Rabbi Shimon say that the Tanur is what's Mekadesh these things? The Shtei Lechem Lechem Apanim should then not be allowed to be Yotze from the Azara. It should be Psul Yotze. That's the way Rashi understands it at least. So Amarava, Eima Sheyehe Hekdeshon Lishum Tanur. No, what he means to say is not that it becomes Kadosh in the Tanur, but that when you're Mekadesh it, you should be Mekadesh it for the sake. When you're Mekadesh the flour, you should say it's Almanas to bake it later in the Tanur. I'm being Mekadesh now al menas to bake it later in the tanur, but not that the tanur gives it the kedushas haguf. When you give it the kedushas damin by being mekadesh it, you are being mekadesh it al shem with the intention of later baking it in the tanur. Now Rashi had said that the tanur is mekadesh. That if the tanur was mekadesh, it would then be a psul yotze for the lechem to go out, because anything that's in the skadish b'kedushas kli shareis, if it leaves the azar, it's a psul yotze. Tosos disagrees on Rashi with Rashi. Tosos says that even if the tanur was mekadesh, it's not going to cause a psul yotze if it goes out. That's not the Gemara shaila of does Rabbi Shimon really say the tanur was mekadesh? What about the fact that it's bebeis pagi? No. The shaila is not, isn't it a psul yotze? The shaila is, it's mechur adavar, that it's not nice, that if you have something that's already kadosh, not that it's a psul to go out of the azara, it's just mechur adavar to take outside of the azara, something that's already been miskadesh, and that's how Shita Mekubetzis understands as well. Rabbi Kiva Eger, though, has a different understanding of the Gemara's kasha. Again, Rabbi Shimon had said that the tanur is miskadesh, so we asked, how could he say that? I thought he said that the shtei lechem lechem apanim are ksheros bebeis pagi. So what is it? So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no, not like Rashi, that the kasha is a psul yosei, nor like Tosos, that the kasha is that it's just inappropriate. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, Rabbi Shimon holds, any malacha that you're able to do miba'od yom, before Shabbos starts, or before Yantif starts, is not going to be docha Shabbos. Which malachas are you allowed to do in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos and Yantif? Only those that could not be done before. Lechem apanim l'shtei alechem, the lechem apanim l'shtei alechem, you're allowed to bake them on Shabbos and Yantif, only if you hold the tanur is mekadesh. Because if you hold the tanur is mekadesh, then you cannot bake them on during the daytime. Why not? Because if they become kadosh in the tanur and you bake them during the daytime, then it's going to be psolina once nighttime comes. So the Gemara asks that since Rabbi Shimon holds the lechem apanim l'shtei alechem are baked even bebeis pagi, meaning in a way that they won't even become kadosh, so then it won't have a psolina. So if that's the case, why are they docha Shabbos? Why should their baking be docha Shabbos? The only time you have a psolina is if it had kedusha. So if Rabbi Shimon holds that the tanur is mekadesh, so then I understand why the baking of the shtei lechem lechem apanim is docha Shabbos, because the tanur is mekadesh and that's the only way to bake it. So then it's going to have a psolina if you bake it on erev Shabbos. But if you hold that it could even be baked with base pagi, so you hold that you can bake it in a way where you're not mekadesh it. Oh, if you could bake it in a way that you're not mekadesh it, then it would never be a psolina. That's the kasha of the Gemara. That's how Rabbi Kiva Eger understands the kasha of the Gemara. Now, another har, the Brisk Rav just points out that when we say that you're makdish it l'shum tanur, so the Brisk Rav says this halacha, that you're makdish the mincha at first bipeh with kedushas damim, it's only afterwards that you're makdish it in a kli shareis. That's not only by minchas mafa tanur. Every mincha that you're makadish b'kli shareis, you first need to be makdish b'peh with kedushas damim. That's just the procedure of a kavir mincha. At first you're makdish b'peh to give a kedushas damim, and then it gets kedushas aguf in the kli shareis. Okay, vayter in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. So Harei lo minchas macha v'loyach v'mechza. So we said if you say that you can bring a mafa, you can't bring half chalos, half rakik. And Rabbi Shimon disagreed, said yes, you can. So Tanu Rabbanan v'chisakriv kishatakriv lasos dvar reshus karban mincha. V'chisakriv means when that the karban minchas mafa tanner, when you want, you could do. You have the right to do. It's a dvar reshus. It's not a chiyuv. If you don't want, you don't have to. Bring it. How do I know that if you say that you're not allowed to bring half and half, half chalas, half rakikin, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Tamalomar korban mincha korban echad amarti lach below shayim u'shalosh korbanos. It says korban mincha, so we darshan that means it has to be one singular korban, not two or three different types of korbanos. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says back, v'chi nemar korban korban shnei pa'amim. What do you mean? V'alo lo nemar ela korban echad. Does it say korban several times in the pasuk? No, it only says korban once. And yet the pasuk makes explicit mention of v'nemar bo chalos rakikin. I mean, you're telling me it says only korban echad, and that's why you can't bring multiple types of loaves. I'll tell you the exact opposite. Because it only says korban once, it only speaks about one type of korban, and yet it does mention chalos. chalos, and it does mention rikikin, it must be that chalos and rikikin, says Rabbi Shimon, can be part of the same karban. That's okay for it to be part of the same karban. So it says chalos me'ata ratzalavi chalos maybe. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, if you want to bring chalos, good. Rikikin, maybe. You want to bring rikikin, also good. And you know what else is good? Mechza chalos and mechza rikikin, maybe. If you want, you can bring half and half. You can bring half chalos and half rikikin, and that's fine also. That would also be good. And you do the blila, and you take the kmitza from the two of them. And if you do the kmitza, and it only comes up in your hand, only from the rikikin, or only from the chalos, and that kmitza is meant to cover both, that's fine too, because it's all part of the same carbon. That's totally fine, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudo Omer, Minayim Omer Harei Alay Milchas Mafa, Shalo Yavi Mechza Chalos Mechza Rikikin. How do I know if a person says I'm bringing Milchas Mafa, that he should not bring half chalos, half rikikin? This is Rabbi Yossi Birabi Yehuda, this is Rabbi Yehuda's son. So he's following his father's shita, mostly. We're going to see later what the difference is between him and his father, but he's following his father's shita against Rabbi Shimon, that you're not allowed to take a single karban and split half the loaves as chalos and half as rikikin. But he says, how do I know it? Tamil Omar, the kol milcha shaytefe betanur, the kol nasa marcheshes, the al machvas le kohen hamakrevosa lo siye, the kol milcha blu b'shemen, the chareva le kol b'nei Aaron tiye. My v'chol ha'amar l'mata shnei minum chalukin, just like the v'chol that it says toward the end of those psukim is referring to two separate minim, af v'chol ha'amar l'mala shnei minum chalukin. So to the previous v'chol is talking about two different minim, meaning to say chalus and rikikim that are said previously are talking about two separate minim that should not be mitzdarif with each other. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda also holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you cannot bring half chalus, half rikikin. Difference is, he has a different pasuk, whereas Rabbi Yehuda derived it from the pasuk saying karban mincha, karban echad, velo shnayim shlosha karbanos. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda learns it from v'kol, that we compare the different v'kols in the parsha. So says the Gemara, okay, now that we have these three shitos, we have Rabbi Yehuda, we have Rabbi Shimon, and we have Rabbi Yosef bir Rabbi Yehuda, now let's analyze how they work against each other and how they respond to each other. Rabbi Yehuda shapir karban Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon had a very strong point. Rabbi Yehuda, what was is Taina. Pasuk only mentions carbon once, and it mentions chalos and rikikin. So doesn't that imply that chalos and rikikin can be part of the same carbon? How's Rabbi Yehuda going to address that? So amalacha, kivin dechsiv b'shemen, k'man dechsiv carbon dami. Since it says b'shemen twice, so it's as if it said carbon twice, and therefore it's as if the chalos and rikikin were references to two separate carbonos, even though the word carbon didn't appear twice, but the word shemen did appear twice. For Rabbi Shimon, ilok siv b'shemen, Rabbi Shimon would respond, no, it has to say b'shemen twice, because if it didn't say b'shemen twice, havamina dafka mechza chalos mechza rikikin, I would think not only are you permitted to make half of the loaves chalos and half of the loaves rikikin. Says Rabbi Shimon, if it would have told me just karban, chalos, and rikikin, one time karban, and the words chalos and rikikin, I would have assumed it's a chiyuv to split half chalos, half rikikin. I would have thought that if you wanted to bring all the loaves of chalos or all the loaves of rikikin, that's invalid, that would not work. So kamashulun, therefore it comes to tell me that it is valid, that's why it says shemen twice, to tell me that it's not completely one carbon in the sense that chalos and rikikin must be brought together, but it's that chalos and rikikin may be brought together. That's how Rabbi Shimon understands. So frankly, Gemara, okay, now we have these three shitos. We understand why Rabbi Shimon doesn't say like Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say like Rabbi Shimon, but what's the deal with Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Avua. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, L'chora is saying exactly the same thing as his father said, as Rabbi Yehuda said. What's the difference between them? So says Gemara, Ike Benayu di'i avad. The nafkaminim between them is a bidi Evid situation. If you look at Rashi, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Yalef Taimu Mikarbon Echad, the Evid Ksheros. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who learns it from the word karban, that karban echad, and it shouldn't be multiple kinds of karbanos, so b'diavad, it's going to be kasher. It's never shana of a kasav la'akev. The Torah is just telling me that l'chadchila, it should be one karban, not multiple kinds within a single karban. The Rabbi Yossi, the yalv mi'blul v'chareva, kiyech de blul di minchas nedava v'chareva di minchas chotei afilu di evedim irvan psulos. But Rabbi Yossi, who's learning from a different kind of carbon, so whatever the halachos are by that other kind of carbon from which we are learning, the halach is going to be over here as well by the chalas and the rikikin. So just like a chareva that's brought as a non chareva is pasul, so too because kedamer lo yasmal hashemen vim sam pasul hachinam chalas rikikin diavad lo. So Rabbi Yossi Rebuda therefore is going to say that even b'diavad it's going to be pasul. Okay, hadron lachol menachos. It's the end of the fifth parak of Maseches Menachos. Now we begin the sixth, or if you look in the Mishnayos of Maseches Menachos, this is actually the tenth parak of Menachos. Very unusual. Why it has? Every once in a while you have like that. At the end of Sanhedrin, you have like that also where Chelek is. But every once in a while, but it's somewhat unusual to have the order of the Mishnayos and the Mishnayos different than the order of the Mishnayos and the Gemara. I'm not sure why that's so. Okay, primarily this is going to be about the Korban Omer. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which is Daf Yomi coincidence during Sfiras Omer. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Omer, Sfiras Omer is more than, it's 50 days out of the year, so not such a coincidence. But Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Omer hayabab Shabbos mishalosh se'in ubechol michamesh. When you would bring the Korban Omer on Shabbos, you would use three se'in. On chol, you would use five, says Rashi. Imchal shisha asa liyos b'Shabbos. If the second day of Pesach fell on Shabbos, haya Omer ba yisaron mishalosh se'in shayikotzen shlosh se'in sa'orim. They would cut down three se'in of sa'orim, umanif nosam benafa, and they would and they would do the winnowing and the making it into fine flour, atchem nifnos an adisaron mufchar, to the point that they'd get one isaron of really good flour. But by chol they would take more original flour and make it an even finer flour, and they would take more original grain to whittle it down to the finest of the finest flour. But it involved more work. So when it was Shabbos, they would want to make it less work. When it was a weekday, they're willing to do the more work in order to have the finest flour possible. The Chum Mamrim, Echad Shabbos Vecha Chol Mishalosh Hayba. The Chum say, no, Shabbos weekday doesn't make a difference, it was always Mishalosh. Rebbe Chinir Skana Kwanam Mamrim, B'Shabbos Hayinikzar B'Yachid, U'B'Magal Echad, U'B'Kupa Achas. On Shabbos, they'd have one guy doing the Ktziras HaOmer with one kli and then into one kli and putting all of it into one basket. Ubechol b'shlosha b'sholosh kupas v'sholosh magalos. And on a weekday, you'd have three people with three different cutting implements putting it into three different baskets. The Chum omrim echad Shabbos v'echad chol b'shlosha b'sholosh kupas v'sholosh magalos. And the Chum say, no, even on Shabbos you would do the three with the three and the three. Right. So that's the machlokas, whether you change it up on Shabbos or you keep things exactly the same on Shabbos. So we'll discuss that in a second. But first, let's see a little bit of the Gemara. Bishlam Rabban Kasavri Isaron Muvchar Bishlosha Se'inasi. I understand the Rabbanan hold that an Isaron Muvchar can be brought with three Se'in. That even if you originally take three Se'in of grain, that's enough to land you with a beautiful Isaron of flour, with a very fine Isaron of flour. And that's why the Rabbanan say, whether it's Shabbos or a weekday, all you need is three Se'in. That makes sense. Loshna B'chol, Loshna B'Shabbos. El Rabbi Shmuel, Mike Savor. What does Rabbi Shmuel hold exactly? If he holds that you need to take five se'in of grain in order to get a perfect, beautiful isaron of flour, then afil b'Shabbos nami. Then you should be able to take five se'in of grain on Shabbos as well. When the second day of Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you should be able to use five se'in of grain in order to land with your perfect isaron of flour as well. And if you could get it out of three se'in, then afil b'chol nami. Then even on a weekday, you should use three se'in. Why the difference between a weekday and Shabbos? So Amarava Kasavra Bishmal Isar Muvchar below Tircha Asi Michamesh, Bitircha Asi Mishalosh. He holds that you can get Nisar Muvchar out of three se'in of grain, but it's going to take a lot more work to do that. So on Shabbos, where we don't want you to do more ktsira unnecessarily, we don't want you to just be harvesting more unnecessarily, we'll make you do the extra work to have to whittle it down to a nisaron muvchar out of the three se'in. But on a weekday, we'll make your life a little easier. Take the five se'in and it'll be less work. So on a weekday, you'll bring from Chamesh, because that's more Meshubach, that it's a finer Yisaron, and B'Shabbos, Mutav Shiyarbe B'Malacha Achas, Barakada, Va'al Yarbe B'Malachas Harbe. And on Shabbos, we'd rather you do more sifting than do more of every other Malacha. So instead of you having to do more harvesting and winnowing and all the rest, we'd rather you just do more of one Malacha, rather than do more of other Malachas. So we're sensitive, Rabbi Shmuel is sensitive about how many malachos a person is violating. So the Mikdash Tavit just points out, I think we mentioned this in the past, but it's worth mentioning again, that you could prove from our Mishnah that even though the Torah is matir to be Mechal Shabbos, in order to bring karbanos that are kavu alem zman, still it sounds from our Mishnah that we try to be memait b'chol Shabbos kol ma de'efshar. We try to be memait b'chol Shabbos as much as possible. And that's why the Ketziras HaOmer is done on Shabbos, but only al yidei kotzer echad, not three people being kotzer together. And even though those three se'in that are niktzar, bein b'chal bein b'shabbos, there's still, on Shabbos, you don't do exactly like you would do on a weekday. On a weekday, you would have three people doing it. On Shabbos, you only have one person doing it. To be memayit b'isr Shabbos as much as possible. So the Mikdash David points out, though, there are a lot of other places where it's mavur that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, to be makrif karbanos, and you don't need to come up with an etzah to minimize the chil of Shabbos. For instance, we shecht karbanos on Shabbos, and we don't require two people to hold onto the knife together as they shecht to make it shnayim shasu, that it shouldn't be chil Shabbos on the daraisa level. Well, why don't we require that? We tell our tzala members, if it's not a rush, if time is not of the essence, that when they turn the ignition, they should have two people hold the key at the same time when they turn the ignition to make it shnayim shasua. Why don't we do that on by the shechit of a carbon as well? Elamai, you see that you don't have to do a titzdiki. You don't have to come up with an eitza in order to avoid chil Shabbos. So what is it? Do you have to or do you not have to? So says the Mikdash Tav, what you see is that there's a difference between machshirei karban and hakravas hakarban. The machshirei karban, you need to come up with whatever eitzah you can in order to avoid chil Shabbos. The hakrava of the karban, you don't need to come up with whatever eitzah you can. Another ha'ara, fascinating ha'ara, Birei Adav quotes, Teferis Yaakov, in the back of the Mishnayis, wonders, wait a second, the second day of the karban omer is always brought on a day that's asur to do malacha, because it's brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, according to many Rishonim, is asur to do malacha mida'o raisa. So why does it make a difference if it's Shabbos or Chol? Either way, malacha is asur, maybe even mida'o raisa. So he suggests, the Bir Adaf says, maybe you can answer this based on, I think we spoke about this on Pesach, Rav Zhulti has a piece of Mishnah Yavitz where he discusses, is the Karban Omer, very interesting discussion, we'll get to it later in the parak, is the Karban Omer a Karban of Pesach? Or is the Karban Omer a Karban of the 16th day of Nisan? If it's a Karban of Pesach, so then you don't have to worry about Malachos of Pesach, because that's just the nature of the carbon. The Torah was obviously materit. But if it's the carbon of the 16th day of Nisan, that just happens to fall out in Pesach every year, so then the Isra Malacha should be treated just like an Isra Malacha of Shabbos, and there should be no difference if it's on Chol or Shabbos. So maybe there's a raya that it's carbon of Pesach, and not just Tam carbon. Although, that's a major chakir in the Achronim, we'll discuss, I'm sure, at some later point in this parable.